We started speaking about Lashon Hara. Not speaking Lashon Hara. That's where we're up to the paragraph in Nikius Harachilos for Lashon Hara. It's the next mitzvah that he's going into that has many details, nuances, ramifications. So let's learn the paragraph first and then speak about
page 55.
Harechilos v'loshin hara kvar chomro noda. It's well known how serious loshin hara and rechilos is. The godol arnof of kirabu ma'od, and therefore the Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole sefer on shmiras haloshon, because there are a lot of intricate halachas of what's loshin hara and what's not, and when you're not allowed to say it, when you have to say it, and so on. Kirabu ma'od ach kvar gozru omer chazal. The Maimer Shikvar Hiskarti, the Kulam, the Avek Lashon Hara. All people, nobody saved completely from the dust of Lashon Hara, meaning from the very light nuances of what Lashon Hara is. The Amru, Hechi Domi Avek Lashon Hara, what's an example of Avek Lashon Hara? It's not real Lashon Hara, what's also from the Torah. But avak means that it is connected. It's like the dust that clings to something. It's not the essence of the thing itself, but it has a connection to it. Kigon da omer hecha mishtakach nura. Ela beplanya. Right? Person makes the following statement. He said, you want to find fire? It's in that house. Right? They always have light because they always have things cooking. It not really a negative thing, but it has negative connotations. These people are always involved in eating and cooking. Oh, she is saper tovosel if nesona. Or a person says good things, nice things about a person, but he does it in front of the wrong people. He does it in front of people he knows don't like that person, and it's going to spur them to say but, and to rebuttal what you said nice about the person. The chol kiyotzi b'zesh. He didn't actually speak Lashon Hara. He didn't actually say something derogatory, but it has connotations, or it leads to something derogatory. Afal pi shenirim dvorim kalim urechokim min arachilos. Even though these things seem very light and very far from real rechilos, right, gossip or whatever, he dibeemes ma'avak shalohei. But they're the dust that clings to it. Klolo shaldover harbe drachim liyetsa. Many ways the yetsa hara can trip up a person. Anything that could lead to damage or character assassination, right, or bad about somebody else, or embarrassment, doesn't make a difference in front of him or not in front of him. That's all part of Lashon Hara. Some of it's also from the Torah, some is also from the Rabbanan. Hasoni umetuiv lifnei amakom, and Lashon Hara is something the Rabbanu Shem hates and is abominable. And like we've said many times, why two things? Sonui umetuiv, because every aveira has two parts to it: the part that you do something against the king, you're rebelling against the king, and the intrinsic poison that the aveira is itself. So therefore, Lashon Hara is sonui. The Rabban Shalom hates it as the king. He's told us not to do it, and it's hateful to him. And it in its intrinsically matuav. It's also abominable because the poison, it's a poisonous thing, which we'll get to in a second. Sha'amru alav kol masapar Lashon Hara ki'ilu kofer bi'ikav. Personal speaks Lashon Hara is like he denies the Rabban Shalom. Ukroksi melashni b'seis reyehu also atzmis. A person who speaks gossip about his friend privately, the Rabban Shem says, also ask me, I will destroy him. So, first of all, why is speaking Lashon Hara like kofar, be'ikr, that you deny the Rabban Shem? The people believe in the Rabban Shem very nicely, very from people, and they speak a lot of Lashon Hara. So where's the connection between, it's a terrible thing. So the Me'iri says, that usually people speak Lashon Hara about the faults of people. They point out their faults, their chesronos or whatever. Somebody who doesn't believe that God apportions out to people what they are, and therefore their faults, if the guy's not smart or he's not successful or whatever, it's really not his fault. The Rabban Shem runs the world. So it's as if he denies the fact that the Rabban Shem runs the world, and he attributes these faults and negative things to the person himself when it's not really the person himself. It doesn't really apply to everything, because there's certain things that a person, if he has faults or whatever, he causes on himself. But the Meiri says a lot of the times Lashon Hara is on things that a person can't control. People make fun of people that are not successful. They're shlamazels, whatever. But that relies on the Rabban Shalom is the one who controls it. If you don't believe that and you attribute it to the person, says the Meiri, it's like you're kofar b'ikar. But it doesn't apply to all Lashon Hara. And we'll see a little bit more why Lashon Hara is so bad. Now last time, if you remember, we spoke about a few things about Lashon Hara that needed explanation. One is that, just like it says, that there are things that a person gets dividends in this world, and the Iker reward is in the next world. And Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Torah is equal to all of them. It says the same thing the Yerushalmi says about Lashon Hara. That there are three things that a person gets the dividends of punishment in this world, and the Iker is safe for the next world. And they are Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Idolatry, adultery, and murder. And Lashon Hara keneged kulam. So it's similar. The counterpart of Talmud Torah keneged kulam is Lashon Hara keneged kulam. So you have to understand why. And we said that there are two kaparas for Lashon Hara. There's a kapara for Lashon Hara shebekol and Lashon Hara shebetzina. There's private, quiet Lashon Hara and open Lashon Hara. And the Mi'il, the Kohen Gadol's Mi'il, was mechaper on the loud Lashon Hara, and the Ketores is mechaper on the Lashon Hara Shebetzina, the hidden Lashon Hara. So we asked Lachara, the place where we learn that Ketores is mechaper on Lashon Hara is after Korach and his entourage were killed. Klal Yisrael came and complained to Moshe and Aaron, Atem Hamitim Asamashe, you killed these people. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you made the whole thing that the Rabban Shem should make something, and God just did what you wanted. You killed these people. That was Lachara, open Lashon Hara. They basically attacked Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ketores there was Mechaper. So how can we learn that the Ketores is Mechaper on Lashon Hara Shebetzina when the place where it was Mechaper was Lashon Hara that was open? That was voiced. It wasn't hidden Lashon Hara. So therefore, I want to explain the following. And also, the punishment for Lashon Hara is Saras. Right? Why is that the punishment for Lashon Hara, Saras? So basically, the Maral says the following. Okay, and I don't remember how much of it is the Maral and how much is me, but the basic idea is from the Maral, so we'll say it in his name. The Maral says like this, why is Gilei Arayish v'chazdom avodah zarah, why do you have to give your life for those three sins? Because basically, other sins, a person, if he's over those averas, survives. But if he dies completely, and he won't be able to do more mitzvahs. So the Rabban Hashem said, better you should transgress those averas under certain circumstances, be mechal Shabbos, but save a person's life, because he'll be able to keep more Shabbos. So it's the lesser of two evils is being over the Avera temporarily in order to be able to do more mitzvahs. But these three Averas basically destroy the person spiritually. Right? One destroys his neshama, that's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah destroys the neshama. Right? It's the antithesis of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the life of the neshama. You're cutting yourself away from the Rabban Hashem. And ritzicha, murder, usually comes from bad midos and anger or whatever. People kill each other. And that destroys the nefesh of the person. And Gilui Arayos has to do with the lust and the body. So it destroys the body of the person. So if you're over these averas, you're destroying one aspect of you completely. So it's better to die where you're only dying, you're not destroying an aspect of you completely, than be over these averas, where the other averas don't destroy you completely. They harm you, but better to do the avera than to die, because this way you have a chance to do more averas. But these averas destroy an aspect of the person completely. They destroy either your nefesh, your neshama, or your guf. So therefore it's better not to do them. On the other hand, lashon hara destroys the person completely, his neshama, his body, and his nefesh all at once. How so? The Gemara says, now this is not the Maral. That was very basically what the Maral says. Why lashon hara keneged kula? The Gemara says like this, that Adam la'amal yulad, pasuk in Iyov, person was created to toil. We were put in this world to work. Not to take it easy, because if we took it easy, we could have been remained in Olam Haba. There's a great place to take it easy. But in this world, we were put here to work. Amal means to take the potential and realize it. That's what Amal is. Amal is taking a potential and bringing it out, actualizing it, realizing it. And that's the reason we were put in this world. We were given tremendous potential, and the Rabban Shem wanted us to develop it and actualize it, so we'll get rewarded, that we'll appreciate it. We will create our Olam Haba by actualizing the potential that he gave us. That's what Torah, that's what this world is all about. Amal. Adam la'amal yulat. So the Gemara says, Ve'eni yodea im la'amal malacha, im la'amal sich, la'amal peh. I don't know if the ikar amal in this world is physical work or speech. And then there's a pasuk, right, ki ikach alav pihu, that it's the main amal in this world is speech. Then the Gemara says, I don't know now if it's stam talking, sicha, or Torah. There's another pasuk, vagiso vayom v'layla, that the main effort and toil in this world is through Torah. Okay. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what was the Havamina, that a person was put in this world to work, physical work? That's what he's here for, to put effort into physical work. And then I need a pasuk to tell me that if it's not physical work, it's verbal, that it's Torah and not just I'm talking. People in this world to talk, there are people who actually think like that and practice like that. They think they're put in this world never to stop talking, and they constantly talk. But is there I need a pasuk to tell me that's not the purpose of the world to talk? It's Torah. So Chafetz Chaim explains the following way. So the person was put in this world to perfect himself and the world. And God therefore created an imperfect world, and he wants us to perfect it. That's called amal. That's the effort we're supposed to put in this world, to take an imperfect world and perfect it. And that is the meaning of the Medrash, which we mention all the time. Tornas Rufus HaRosha Esra Biakiva, what's better, what God makes or what man makes? And he expected Rabbi Akiva to say, what God makes is better than what man makes. And then he would have attacked him with the following. Now, if that's the case, then we Goyim are like God made us, uncircumcised, and you Yidden are like man made you, circumcised. So we're better than you. So Rabbi Akiva took the wind out of his sails, and he said, what man makes is for sure better than what God makes. So Tunis Rufus said, how can you say such a thing? He said, very simple. You're going home to eat lunch. Your wife made bread and cake, and God made wheat. Obviously the bread and cake are better than the wheat. Meaning, the Rabban Shem created an unfinished, imperfect, raw material world. And he expects man to develop and perfect the world. So that is what people do is better than what the Rabban Shem did, because that was the purpose. The purpose was to give you an imperfect world to perfect. And along with perfecting the world, you perfect yourself. So therefore, there's a concept of malacha. Malacha means you take an imperfect world and perfect it, and by doing that, you perfect yourself along with it. And Chanami, the Goyim, that is their purpose in this world. They get their Olam Haba by perfecting the physical world and remaining Morum in doing so. They create the infrastructure of the physical world, and they have seven mitzvahs. Seven represents the 7 days of creation, the physical, natural world. They build it, they perfect it, and in doing so they're supposed to build themselves up by remaining moral within that system, and they'll get olam haba for it. So I might think that amal malacha is the purpose of the world, to work, perfect the world, along with that keep yourself moral, right? Don't destroy the world, don't contaminate the world and pervert it, and you'll get olam haba. So he says, no, that's very good for Goyim. That's not what the purpose of a Jew is. The Jew more perfects the world with speech. So I might think Sicha. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Sicha doesn't mean just shooting the breeze. I'm talking. Sicha can mean davening. Davening is called Sicha. Sicha can mean relating to other people the wonders of the Rabbanu Shalom. Dor li'avatu v'niflosecha asicha. Conversation between people, or sicha can also mean a give and take of conversation where people inspire other people and strengthen other people, and people work together to perfect each other. That's also sicha. So I might think that the purpose is that with speech people can perfect each other and spread the word of the Rabbanu Shalom, whatever. It's tremendous daven. All these things are perfections of the world through speech. And the Torah says, no, that's also a very nice thing. But the main perfection of the world is through Torah learning. Now, what's the idea? Why dafka speech is more important than action? Because what is speech? Speech is lashon. Language is called lashon. The tongue is lashon. Lashon, I think, has a connection to the word lush. Lush means to knead. K-N-E-A-D. Make dough. It's one of the malachas of Shabbos. The malacha is not taking a rolling pin and rolling out the dough. That's not the malacha of Lisha. It's part of it. The malacha of Lisha is the initial stage of mixing a liquid with a solid and making a compound. That is Lisha. Lisha, you don't have to roll anything. You don't have to knead it. You just have to mix water and a solid and make a hard compound. That's called lisha. So lisha is taking liquid and solid, mixing them together. The lashon does that. The lashon takes the spiritual neshama, mixes it with sound waves, and it comes out to be speech. Speech is a combination of spiritual thought, ideas, and physical sound waves. And it makes it now a real entity that you can measure, that you can hear, that's in the world. That's the lashon. That's a lashon. And that's why the language that a person speaks basically is a representation of their neshama. Every nation has a different neshama, and therefore every nation has a different language. And the language represents the neshama of that nation. And that's why in different languages there are words that don't exist in other languages. Right? Certain languages are more, the neshama of those people are more emotional, more sensual. So French is a more sensual language, right? A more emotional language. What's it called? Spanish is also, you can hear the neshama of the person in the language. German is a more harsh language, right? And precision, whatever. You can see, you can hear the neshama in the language itself, right? And it the language fits the people. And in the language they speak in Iceland, right? There's about 10 different words for snow, different nuances of snow. And in English, snow is snow, shelig is shelig. There's not too many words for snow. But if you live in a place where that is the major commodity, so you know all the nuances of different kinds of snows.
How many different words are in America for money?
Money, it could be that's the American, right? Or different words for how many different kinds of steaks you can have, or whatever. There, the each language has its neshama that's represented. That's why Klal Yisrael have Lashon HaKodesh, because we have a neshama that's Kodesh. So our language has Kedusha. The language is a holy language. In fact, that's what we say on Yontif, V'romamtonu mikol ha'lashonos. It's The simple meaning is God extolled us above all words. When I was, there's no way to express the greatness of the Jewish people. It's above all expression. That's really what it means. But the simple, but the deeper meaning is the Rabbanu Shalom made us greater than all the other languages. And he gave us Lashon HaKodesh because our neshama is holy. And the other people speak a language that's not holy because their neshamas aren't holy. But our neshamas are holy. So we have a holy language. In any case, that's what speech is. Speech is taking the spiritual and actualizing it into something physical. In that way, you mamish perfect the world on its highest level. On the level of the neshama. On the level of speech, which is much higher than perfecting the world just in physical things. So the main perfection of the world is with speech, and that's what makes a person a person. What made a human being different than the animal is speech. We can talk. Animals don't talk. They don't have that idea of speech. They may have sounds. Dogs bark and what's it called, and they have their language. But it's not a language. It's not taking thought and putting it into words and mixing intellect with sound waves. There's no intellect. It's just they're programmed to make sounds that warn each other or that represent things or whatever. It's not taking the intellect and actualizing it. Only you what?
It's instinct.
Right. Only human beings have that idea of taking intellect, thought, and putting it into words. So, therefore, that's the main kind of perfection of the world. And therefore, a person can do a lot of things in this world, gemilus chasadim, which build and perfect the physical world, hachnosis kala, hachnosis orchim, and that's all part of the infrastructure of the world. But talmud Torah can I get kula? The greatest way of perfecting the world is not in the physical aspect of the world, but in the spiritual aspects of the underpinnings of the world, the spiritual foundation of the world, which is done through Torah learning. So Talmud Torah connected kula. On the other hand, a person can use his speech and totally corrupt it and make it something that is not at all holy, just the opposite, destructive. Instead of perfecting with your speech, you destroy it. So that's Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is, I use that speech, instead of perfect and build the world, I use it to speak badly about things that the Rabbanu Shalom wants strengthened, and I'm destroying them. And I'm minimizing them. And maligning them. And that's Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara destroys the person. Destroys two things. It's damaging on the outside. Damages the person who's spoken about. It damages the person who listens to it. But it also damages the person who speaks it. Because it makes him like a living dead person. He's basically destroying his neshama. Instead of expressing the neshama and bringing it out in a positive, constructive way, he's basically destroying his neshama. So he's like a living dead person. That's tzaras. Tzaras is where your skin turns white. It's as if you're dead, but you're still alive. So you're a zombie. You're a living dead person. And that's why a metzora is metame like a mace. There's the same din of tuma. He can't be around other people. It's like he's living, but he's really dead. He's killed himself conceptually by speaking Lashon Hara. So that is the why Lashon Hara is worse or equal to Gilui Arayos, Shlichus Damo, and Avodah Zarah. They only destroy one aspect of the person. Lashon Hara basically destroys the foundation of the person and destroys all the aspects. So that's the how terrible Lashon Hara is. That's why Lashon Hara can, it's the opposite of Torah. Torah is taking speech, fulfilling the purpose why people were created and perfecting the world. And Lashon Hara is taking speech and making it worse than an animal who can't speak because you're using your speech for destruction. And therefore you need two kaparas. Since Lashon Hara has two effects, negative effects, one is it harms the people that you speak about and to. That's the open Lashon Hara. That's what you can hear, what comes from the sounds. The destruction of the person who listens, he has to hear something. And destruction of the person who said about what you say hurts him. So that, the me'il, is mechaperon. made noise. The noise that you made that was destructive, the me'il, somehow you do tshuva, the me'il will take away that effect. The effect it had on others. The effect it had on the person who listened to it. But what about the effect that it had on you? That's silent. You don't see that. The one who spoke the Lashon Hara poisoned his system. He destroyed his neshama. What's mechaper on that? What fixes that up? That's ktoras. That's what it means, Lashon Hara Shebetzina. It's not means that Lashon Hara that's done privately. But it's the silent part of the Lashon Hara, the damage that's done to the person who speaks it, you can't see. It's like they say a thing, high blood pressure, is called the silent killer. Has no, the symptoms. You don't know you have it till you either check it out or something like that, but it doesn't have any symptoms. It's a silent killer. So that's the same thing. The Lashon Hara, how it affects a person who speaks it, you don't see any symptoms. Right? But it's a silent killer. It eats up the neshama of the person, takes his neshama and makes it into nothing. So that's why Lashon Hara can get kula.
Right, if a person thinks Lashon Hara, but he doesn't say it to anybody, then is he still damaged in himself?
No. Even though, if he think it, no, because it's not, Lashon Hara has to be spoken. Right? So the thoughts, the bad thoughts that you may have other averas about. But thinking badly about somebody is not Lashon Hara. Maybe a different thing. But I do see, it's mashmah from the Rambam. What if you speak Lashon Hara to no one, except you say, sit in your house, and you say terrible things about people? Nobody hears you. Is that Lashon Hara or not? Does Lashon Hara have to be heard by somebody? Or just speaking it itself? It's mashmah from Rambam that just speaking it, even if nobody hears it, is called Lashon Hara. Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but I remember once seeing a diuk in a Rambam that's mashma like that. He says by a Baal Lashon Hara, somebody who sits and says these things, mashma, there's nobody else around. He just likes to talk bad about people, but the way we explained it makes sense. You could still learn it. No, it doesn't become Lashon Hara until somebody hears it and it has some kind of bad effect.
You could say that the walls of ears.
Right, it makes sense to say something like that. Verbalizing negative things about people or negative things about things that the Rabbanu Shalom wants, to be promoted in this world and strengthened. That's why the Meraglim were punished for speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you're speaking Lashon Hara about an inanimate object. But the idea is, instead of strengthening the world and strengthening those things that the Rabbanu Shalom wants strengthened, like Eretz Yisrael, you're demeaning it and maligning it and weakening it. So you're destroying the world. Instead of building the world, you're destroying what the Rabbanu Shalom wants, those important things of the world. You're speaking, it's not so much the harm that happens to the thing that you're speaking about. It's the fact that you're taking your speech and you're using it to destroy. That in itself. So therefore it could be that nobody even has to hear it. Could be.
Well, Rabbi just said about that the Lashon Hara damages spiritually, so it seems even if he says in a private room, it's damaging the neshama spiritually.
Right. It could be, though, that spiritual damage doesn't happen unless it's Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara could mean that you said it to somebody else. It could be. So therefore the damage isn't, like I said, if you just think it, could be nobody holds it, that's Lashon Hara. Maybe not a nice thing to do. But you surely aren't over any kind of issue of Lashon Hara, just thinking. So it could be that verbalizing it also is not enough unless somebody hears it. But there is a place to say, the way we're describing it, it makes more sense. It does have an effect, even if nobody hears it. Yes?
Is it a strange idea to think that if you were to be driving a car and saying something evil about the person who's driving in front of you, that it creates a certain kind of energy? Even if it's in your home, or even, because many people in the cars do all kinds of crazy things, right? If they're alone in the car, they say stuff. So is it possible that it creates an energy that then exists outside of the person, even if no one actually heard it?
Again, it depends really on this thing. It doesn't make it if you're in a car or you're in a house or whatever. Right? If creating those sound waves that are negative is called Lashon Hara, if it is, I'm not sure. Right, then it creates a negative energy which affects the person, affects other people, or whatever, yeah, for sure. for sure. Okay. Okay. That. What else do we have to explain? We explained the Torah. And that's why the Isurim of Lashon Hara come after the Parsha of birth. First you have the Parsha of Kashrus in the end of Shemini. And then Tazria speaks about birth. And then Lashon Hara. What's the connection? So it says that, just like when the Rabbi Shem created the world, he created animals before people, he created the Torah of animals before the Torah of people. Right? But it's not the Torah of animals, it's the Torah of people concerning animals. So what it means is the following. When the Rabbi Shem created the world, the reason he created animals first is because everything was created for the sake of man, that he should be able to use it and develop it. So too, when the Rabbi Shem gave the Torah, he first told us how to use the world, what to eat, how to raise up the animal kingdom, what can be eaten, what can't be eaten, what you're supposed to use in a different way to perfect the world. And then comes man on the scene. And man's main keli of perfecting the world is his mouth. So you can either perfect the world and bring everything up to a level of kedusha, or you can use your mouth to destroy the world and bring everything down to total destruction. So that's the partials. This is the ideal. This is man created now who can speak, and now you can either use your speech to elevate the world, right, or you can use your speech to destroy the world. That's the two possibilities. So therefore, even Avak Lashon Hara, even where you didn't actually harm anybody openly, you didn't malign them openly, but there's the dust still affects the person who spoke, and it has a negative effect, even if it's not real Lashon Hara that hurt anybody, never came to hurt anybody. It could be that if you speak Lashon Hara, if you speak nice things about a person, but you know it could generate negative things, even if it doesn't, you're still over Avak Lashon Hara. Because you said something that instead of being something positive and constructive, you know that it has the possibility of being destructive. Even though you said it in a constructive way. But that's not constructive. That's called a destructive act. So you hurt your neshama with that. So that's what he's talking about over here, why Lashon Hara is such a serious aveir. Okay, any questions about this?
Yeah. We're also talking about the three cardinal sins against the what is actually the difference between the nefesh and the neshama?
The nefesh is more the emotional part of a person, your emotions. Even though I've had an ongoing argument with Yaakov Cooper if there is such a thing as emotions or not, because the word emotions only came into being in the last 200 years. Tell me, it didn't exist before that. And he says that way we always explain something from the lave, the heart, is emotion. It's not true in Chazal, and he's right. Lave usually means intellect, not emotion. And all the emotions that people have are really a product of their intellect. Okay? Whatever it is, right, there's an emotional side.
To your heart, then.
What?
When it says not to go
it means to don't have to your mind. It means that. Right, and he's pretty much right that that's what it usually means. So the question, we just use lave as emotion, and emotion is a word again that didn't exist before 200 years. I don't know what you call it. There's drives. There's I don't know, but it's not. Emotions are really a extension of your intellect. Right, you're supposed to intellectually decide if you love, you hate, you whatever. It's not just something that wells up in you, something that you control intellectually, supposedly. Okay, in any case, it's just foreign to us because we feel that we have emotions. We don't. Everything's not with your seichel. Most people don't use their seichel for anything, so they just, you know, are whatever comes naturally they do, or think, or feel, or whatever. But whatever it is,
well, women are more emotional.
Yeah, so that's all these things don't make any. They're not real. They're,
doesn't the nefesh, that the dies emotion?
You speak to Jacob Cooper and see what he says. Yeah,
it does come from the neshama. I mean, the neshama is
no. Real. So you're right, but there are different aspects of the neshama. That's what Rambam says. There's two different schools of thought how a person's made up. Either he has the same. He's basically an animal plus. We have an appetite, animals have an appetite. We have instincts, animals have instincts. But in addition to that, we also have an intellect, and we also have a neshama. So we're an animal, plus intellect, plus a neshama. That's one way of looking at it. The Rambam says not like that. Our intellect, our emotions, our instincts, our drives, all come from the neshama. So it's not that we're an animal, but we also have other things. We're completely different than an animal. All of our animalistic parts emanate from the neshama. They come from a different source than they come from the animal. But there are different parts. So there's the emotional side of the person, whatever that means, okay, which may come from his intellect or whatever. And then there's a spiritual side of the person, which is not the desires or whatever. That's more the pure intellect of spirituality. And then there's the physical side of the person, right? The things that don't come from emotion, but come from the instinct, right? The things that are involuntary. That's the physical part of the person. So there are three parts. So one kind of sin destroys the body. That's more the sexual sins, which are more part of the taivas and the drives that are just part of the body of a person. And then there's the emotional things. You get angry and the anger is leads a person to murder. And then there's the spiritual ideas that come from the neshama, where you want to get closer to the Rabbonu Shlomo or whatever, and here you're using it for Avodah Zarah, which is a similar thing, but it's the opposite end of the spectrum. That's what the Maharal's talking about.
Gila
Arias,
yes.
It's
only with married
woman. No, there's a lot of other kinds of Gila Arias too, right?
No, or let's say it's
adultery is only
that. It's nus, but it's
that's also called Gila Arias. Anything that's usher because of Arias, even if it's not a married woman, is Yehorig Valyavar. Ad kedei kach that even it says even the Abizra, even the things that you're not chayiv misa for. For instance, touching a woman who's not your wife, or even if she is your wife, she's a nida, is also. It could be that that's called arayas. It's not so clear. Let's say it is. So therefore, if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, dance with this person, you know, social dancing, you have to be killed rather than do that. So mixed dancing is gili arayas. It's at a point where you have to give your life rather than do that. Could be. Okay? If it happens, ask a child. In any case, but so Gilead is not just adultery. It's anything that the Torah says is osur in that compartment of our eyes. Yeah.
Can I ask one more question about the emotions?
Yeah, we're not going to get to the kashrus anyway, so you're
okay, Is what you're suggesting that emotions are concoction, like Yeush?
They're not. They're just really should be the product of your intellect. In other words, a person intellectually functions. He doesn't function. There's no source for emotions coming anywhere from the person's mind. Your brain basically controls your emotions. It doesn't come from a different place. There's not the heart controls these things and the mind controls. That your mind, what's it called, generates your emotion. Again, it's a foreign idea.
It's very interesting, and it includes love.
But everything. So all of it is generated. Like Avos Hashem comes from being misbonein. Contemplating, that's it. The ideas that will lead you to love. It's not an emotion that wells up in your heart. You contemplate something, and from that you come to a feeling of love, but it's a result of your intellect.
Okay. So that's what regesh means?
There is no place ever that says regesh, except in the Sifrei Musar or whatever of contemporary, in the last 200 years. Yeah. Not in secular places, in philosophy, and not in the only place where regashim is not a word that exists in anything more than 200 years.
Huh? Beis Halakim.
That doesn't mean regish.
But it doesn't mean that.
It's not used as emotions. Yeah. There it means regish means like roges. It means agitation. I'll be agitated, regish, whatever. With, but not with emotion. Right? And believe me, I held like you 100%. I still do pretty much. But Yaakov Cooper's hard to argue with, and he proved to me that. You want to speak to him and ask him. It seems pretty much like he's right. I don't understand 100%, but he's right. The word regesh, you won't find anywhere in Chazal, means emotions. And not only that, in secular philosophy, the whole idea of emotions was created in the last 200 years. I know. I believe me. Right? If you can find rise the other way, right, I'd be very happy. I'd be very emotionally happy. But this is one argument I'm losing on an ongoing basis, and I'm beginning to admit that he's right.
So intellectually thinking leads to lave. Leads to lave.
The lave does not mean heart emotion. It means the lave is the seat of thought. Not the brain, because the Chazal saw it in the heart. It means the same thing as thinking. That's what Rav Elchanan's question, Los Asura Reich Levavchim, is not a question. Levavchim doesn't mean your emotions. It means your intellect.
Let's say they take out a person's heart and pump his blood.
Now we're talking about a physical heart. Right? Physical heart is a pump. Every organ has a spiritual counterpart. The spiritual counterpart of the physical heart is where the intellect is from. It's not. There could be that the place where it actually takes place is in the brain, but the brain doesn't think. The brain just is like a machine. It's like a gray matter or whatever. The seat of what interprets all of that and is the intellect is the spiritual heart, but the mechanics goes through the brain. Right, that's like the computer part, but that's just the mechanics. That's not the source of the real intellect.
So if they take out a physical heart and have the person's blood pumped around,
Still have an intellect?
I know an intellect, but would he have? Would he able to be emotional or whatever?
It won't make a difference for that long.
Drop it before
Yeah. Intellect come from the Enlightenment theory?
From Enlightenment? No. Intellect exists way before that. They corrupted it, but.